another heart will touch this heart, nor find again its secret place. Through all the autumn years that lie ahead, no other hand will hold this hand, nor reach again to touch my face. No eyes but mine will see the road I tread. The fickle game displeases me. No second best will find me. Across my shoulder, don't you see, my bridges burn behind me. No other love in all the world will be my love, because I shall seek no other love, no other face, no other hand, no other love but yours.
Wasn't that beautiful? That wasn't that King Cole? Of course, it really couldn't be anybody else, could it? And that was a song called No Other Heart. And a warm welcome to Bigley at Night here on Angel Radio. All the usual things in just about all the usual places. You know what to expect. And if this is your first time listening, well, actually, I think you'll enjoy it. So, whatever, settle back, relax, and let's carry on.
Many's the time that we feasted And many's the time that we've fasted, well, it was fair while it lasted. We did have fun, and no harm done, and thanks for the memory of sunburns at the shore, nights in Singapore. You might have been a headache, but you never were a bore. So thank you so much.
Billy Cotton and his orchestra there, and thanks for the memory. So I hope you've had a good week since I was with you last week. We had Thanksgiving Day here, of course, here in the United States, and we had a very nice Thanksgiving Day lunch last Thursday, cooked by me, so it's probably wrong for me to say that it was very nice, but last year I thought we would like have a bit of everything, and we had like 9 different items on the plate, and it was just too much. So this year I thought, you know what, I'm going to just pare it back, and I'm only going to put on the plates the things people like. So we had roast turkey, roast potatoes, cranberry and orange relish, dressing or stuffing if you prefer, Brussels sprouts, and gravy, and honey roasted parsnips as well. And it was all wonderful. It was quite enjoyable. I polished off everything on my plate like there was no tomorrow, as did just about everybody else. And it was a nice afternoon. We found a very nice wine as well. It's called Jean-Luc Colombo, and it's a Côte d'Aron. And it was very nice indeed. Discovered it on American Airlines when I flew back from the UK a little while ago, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And in fact, so much so that we had 2 bottles of it, which between 3 of us, considering that we all cast ourselves as just about non-drinkers, was doing pretty well, I think. Apart from that, it's been a pretty quiet week, and now, of course, it's all back to normal. Except now, everywhere, every shop you go into is now, you're now deluged with Christmas music. And I have to tell you, there will be no Christmas music in Bigley at night until possibly the last one before Christmas. And even then, quite frankly, I wouldn't hold out too much hope. We'll see how it goes. Coming up after this, it'll be time for Bing.
Are my darling, there's no one but you, and to you I'll be true our whole life through. Heaven is smiling because you love me, it's as plain as can be, you're my love. As the stars that shine there above you, who loves you and needs you tonight, they'll tell you it's I who loves you. And I'm lonely when you're out of my sight. There's no one but you, and to you I'll be true our whole life through. Heaven is smiling because you love me, it's as plain as can be, you're my love.
I don't know if Carol and Tony are listening, but if they are, Tony, that was for you from Carol. Jim Reeves, and You Are My Love. So, first segment is where we get Bing Crosby to sing a few tunes for us, and all I have to do is say 2 simple words. Bing, sing.
When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. I turn to the right, and a little white light is gonna lead you to my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're so happy in my blue heaven. When the whippoorwills call,
don't call me, I'll call you.
And the evening is nigh,
got a day in the blue.
I hurry to my
on the telephone
blue,
and we're not alone.
Heaven, take a turn to the right,
follow me, follow me.
Dig a little white light,
it's so easy to see.
It's gonna lead you to my
rock and rollin' room
blue.
Chase away the gloom,
heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room.
Clean up gate and get ready to go.
Just a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me.
He's in love, can't you see?
And the baby makes three.
That's the whole family.
We're so happy in my
groovy hideaway.
Blue.
Hide the bride away.
Heaven. We're happy in my man is handy, Mandy, easy to find. Marching down the aisle, your style is gonna make them all stare. With a little black eye, Susan, stuck in your hair. Oh, gee, but you're the candy, Mandy, won't you decide? Everything is dandy, Mandy, once you're a bride. In a year or two, there may be three of a kind. Listen to me, Mandy, make up your mind. Listen to me, Mandy, make up your mind. I can't live without you, Mandy, 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 make up your mind. Never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know
just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? About a million or more times you went away and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now.
Well, three classic songs there from Bing this week. We had My Blue Heaven, Mandy Make Up Your Mind, and You'll Never Know. And we'll have some more songs from Bing Crosby around about the same time next week. But right now it's time to go off over to Germany and to Holger's house. And if you've never heard this program before, well, each week around about this time, we get in touch with Holger, who lives in Germany. He very kindly sends us a song that he thinks that I and you will like. He's done that this week, so let's give it a spin and see what we think.
Ich kann denen so viel erzählen von meinem Papa. Er war eine berühmte Zirkusclown. Papa wie ein Pfeil sprang hinauf auf die Seile, la hoppela hoppela hopp. Er spreizte die Beine ganz weit auseinander, sprang hoch in die Luft und steht auf die Hand, la hoppela hoppela hopp. Er lachte haha und machte haha, ganz sachte haha und rief la hopp, 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 la hopp. Er ritt auf die Seile und rief immer zu, ella hopp, ella hopp, ella hopp. Das konnte er machen zwölfmal an dem I. Er lachte dazu und fürchte sich nie. Ella hopp, 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 ella hopp. Oh, mein Papa war ein wunderbarer Clown. Oh, mein Papa war ein großer Künstler, hoch auf die Seil, wie war er herrlich anzuschauen. Oh, mein Papa war ein schöner Mann. Ei, wie er lacht, sein Mund, sie sein so breit und rot, und seine Augen wie Diamant.
Well, the song was great. It was called Oh My and Papa, and the singer, pretty darn good as well, Lise Aisha. She was actually born Rosa Mina Schürer in Switzerland, and she's famous for a lot of things apart from being a really good singer. She actually won the first Eurovision Song Contest back in 1956, which in French, true Eurovision style, would be 1956. There you go. Don't know why I did that. I feel very Katie Boyle now, which is rather good. And the song was called Refrain, if you want to know little details like that. But of course, that was her big hit, very successful in Germany, Oh Mein Papa. And that's the song that came from Holger's house this week. And Holger, we thank you very much for it indeed. And we look forward to having another song from Holger around about the same time next week.
I was out on the West Coast trying to make a buck, and things didn't work out. I was down on my luck. Got tired of roaming and bumming around, so I started thumbing back east toward my hometown. Made a lot of miles the first 2 days, and I figured I'd be home in a week if my luck held out this way. But the third night I got stranded way out of town. At a cold, lonely crossroads, rain was pouring down. I was hungry and freezing, done caught a chill, when the lights of a big semi topped the hill. Lord, I sure was glad to hear them air brakes come on. And I climbed in that cab where I knew it'd be warm. At the wheel sat a big man. He weighed about 210. He stuck out his hand and said with a grin, Big Joe's the name, I told him mine. And he said the name of my rig is Phantom 309. Well, I asked him why he called his rig such a name. He said, son, this old Mac can put them all to shame. There ain't a driver or a rig running any line that's seen nothing but taillights from Phantom 309. Well, we rode and talked the better part of the night, when the lights of a truck stop came in sight. He said, I'm sorry, son, this is as far as you go, 'cause I gotta make a turn just on up the road. Well, he tossed me a dime as he pulled her in low and said, have yourself a hot cup on old Big Joe. When Joe and his rig roared out in the night, in nothing flat he was clean out of sight. Well, I went inside and ordered me a cup, told the waiter Big Joe was setting me up. Oh, you could have heard a pin drop. It got deathly quiet, and the waiter's face turned kind of white. Well, did I say something wrong? I said with a halfway grin. He said, no, this happens every now and then. Every driver in here knows Big Joe. But son, let me tell you what happened about 10 years ago. At the crossroads tonight where you flagged him down, there was a busload of kids coming from town. And they were right in the middle when Big Joe topped the hill. It could have been slaughter, but he turned his wheels. Well, Joe lost control, went into a skid, and gave his life to save that bunch of kids. And there at that crossroads was the end of a line for Big Joe and Phantom 309. But every now and then some hiker will come by, and like you, Big Joe will give him a ride. Here, have another cup and forget about the dime. Keep it as a souvenir from Big Joe and Phantom 309. Thank you.
singing a sad and blue song. Oh, into your dance until you learn how to sing a new song. Go into your dance. Don't be complaining. Learn how to smile.
And if it's raining, dance in the rain a while. Put off sorrow until tomorrow.
Go into your dance.
Shake your shoes.
Go into your dance.
Too. That was Harry Roy and his Mayfair Orchestra with Go Into Your Dance, and before that with Phantom 309, Red Sauveen. You're listening to Beagle at Night here on Angel Radio. Coming up in a couple of minutes time we have Beagle's Big Three, but first...
So tell me your
Ray Conniff and the Singles and a Man and a Woman. I have a friend, Vilio, who lives up in Edinburgh with his partner, Colin. And good morning, guys, if you are by any chance listening. And every year I get a great card from Vilio, and we've never actually met. We've been friends a long time, but we've actually never met. We met through another radio station when Vilio lived down in Dover. And but every year I get a Christmas card from him, and he always says that Christmas is never Christmas until he plays his Ray Conniff and the Singers Christmas record, which I think he does once the tree is up and it's time for a little bit of brandy. So I'm probably not quite there yet, guys, but I do sort of rather like that tradition. And just as you know, we do play a Ray Conniff album every year in our house as well, around about Christmas time. So hope you enjoyed that. Let's see, what are we going to do now? Oh, I want to say good morning to Peter in Hartlepool. And Peter says, I don't know if I can come up with three songs from this artist where you can say it needs no introduction. So I did think about going the complete opposite and say that you definitely would need to introduce the songs, but then I changed my mind. Well, Peter, you did well, and I don't think I do need to introduce the artist or the songs.
If things are looking gloomy and the skies are dull and grey, remember that the sun will shine again another day. So open up your faces wide and let me hear you say,
hi-de-hi, hi-de-ho.
If you're feeling grumpy, if you're feeling jumpy, and the things you plan will not come right, don't you get downhearted. Come along, get started. Sing this song with all your might. Hi-de-hi,
hi-de-ho.
Hi-de-hi,
hi-de-ho.
If things are looking gloomy and the skies are dull and grey, remember that the sun will shine again another day. So open up your faces wide and let me hear you say,
hi-de-hi, hi-de-ho.
If things are looking gloomy and the skies are dull and grey, remember that the sun will shine again another day. So open up your faces wide and let me hear you say,
hi-de-hi, hi-de-ho.
There's a famous seaside place called Blackpool that's noted for fresh air and fun. And Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom went there with young Albert, their son. A grand little lad was young Albert, all dressed in his best, quite a swell, with a stick with an horse's head handle, the finest that Woolworths could sell. They didn't think much to the ocean. The waves, they was fiddling and small. There was no wrecks and nobody drowned. Fact, nothing to laugh at all. So seeking for further amusement, they paid and went into the zoo, where they'd lions and tigers and camels, and old ale and sandwiches too. There were one great big lion called Wallace. His nose were all covered with scars. He lay in a somnolent posture with the side of his face on the bars. Now Albert had heard about lions, how they was ferocious and wild. to see Wallace lying so peaceful, well, it didn't seem right to the child. So straightway the brave little fella, not showing a morsel of fear, took his stick with his horse's head handle and pushed it in Wallace's ear. You could see that the lion didn't like it, for giving a kind of a roar, he pulled Albert inside the cage with him and swallowed the little lad whole. Then Pa, who had seen the occurrence and didn't know what to do next, said, "Mother, yon lion's et, Albert." And Mother said, "Well, I am vexed." Then Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom, quite rightly when all said and done, complained to the animal keeper that the lion had eaten their son. The keeper was quite nice about it. He said, "What a nasty mishap. Are you sure that it's your boy he's eaten?" Pa said, "Am I sure? There's his cap." The manager had to be sent for. He came and he said, "What's to do?" Pa said, "Yon lion's et Albert, and him and his Sunday clothes too." Then Mother said, "Right, right, young fella. I think it's a shame and a sin for a lion to go and eat Albert, and after we'd paid to come in." The manager wanted no trouble. He took out his purse right away, saying how much to settle the matter. And Pa said, "What do you usually pay?" But Mother had turned a bit awkward when she thought where her Albert had gone. She said, "No, someone's got to be summonsed." So that was decided upon. Then off they went to the police station in front of the magistrate chap. They told him what happened to Albert and proved it by showing his cap. The magistrate gave his opinion that no one was really to blame, and he said that he hoped the Ramsbottoms would have further sons to their name. At that, Mother got proper blazing. "And thank you, sir, kindly," said she. "What, waste all our lives raising children to feed ruddy lions? Not me."
Hello, where did you get that hat? Now, how I came to get this hat is very strange and funny. Grandfather died and left to me his property and money. And when the will it was read out, they told me straight and flat, if I would have his money, I must also wear his hat. I go to the opera house in the opera season. There's someone sure to shout at me without the slightest reason. If I go to a concert hall to have a jolly spree, there's someone in the party who is sure to shout at me. Oh, where did you get that hat? Where did you get that tile? Isn't it a knobby one and just the proper style? I should like to have same as that. Wherever I go, they shout, "Hello, where did you get that hat?" At 21, I thought I would to my sweetheart get married. The people in the neighborhood had said too long we'd tarried. So off to church we went right quick, determined to get wed. I had not long been in there when the parson to me said, "Oh, where did you get that hat? Where did you get that tie? Isn't it a knobby one and just the proper style? I should
millionaire gave his last garden party. I was amongst the guests who had a welcome true and hearty. The Prince of Wales was also there, and my heart jumped with glee when I was told the Prince would like to have a word with me.
Well done, Peter. That was absolutely great. Stanley Holloway, of course, started off with Heidi High. And then we had Albert and the Lion. And there is another version of Albert and the Lion that he did after that. And I'll see if I can pull it out for next week. And then, of course, we had Where Did You Get That Hat? Three great songs chosen by Peter and Hartley Paul. Thank you so much for that, Peter. And they really did not need any introduction at all. If you would like to be the purveyor of next week's Beagle's Big Three, all you have to do is get in touch with me through the email, roy@angelradio.uk, and let me know the songs you want and by the artist, and I will be very happy to play them. And don't worry if I do have to introduce them, it's perfectly fine. Really, it's an old joke that goes way back many, 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 many programs, and it's not worth, not even worth repeating it. But if you'd like to be the selector for next week's program, then just go ahead and do it. All right, time now for Tell Us a Story, and we have a couple more of Murder Mysteries.
Another 5-minute mystery.
Police headquarters, Inspector Harris speaking.
Inspector Harris, this is Peter Arnold.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Inspector Harris, I think I'm going to be murdered.
What?
Just a minute ago, I received an anonymous letter threatening my life.
Have you any idea who it's from?
No.
Where are you now?
I'm at my office in the Acme building, 10th floor.
I'll be right over. Stay right where you are.
Oh, yes, Inspector. Only hurry.
Here's the place, Chief. The Acme building.
Okay.
Hope we're not too late.
Well, if we hurry, we can...
What's the matter, Chief?
Yeah, on the street, little pieces of glass.
Glass? Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Hey, Chief, look up there. See that broken window?
That's Arnold's office. Come on, Stacy, something's wrong up there. What's happened up here?
Who are you?
We're the police. I'm Inspector Harris, and this is my assistant, Joe Stacy.
Oh, am I glad you've come. I'm Lois Cranston, Mr. Arnold's secretary.
Yeah?
Something terrible's happened. Mr. Arnold locked himself in this office.
Yes?
And just a minute ago, I heard a shot and then glass breaking.
Come on, Stacy, help me break down this door.
Okay.
All right. Ready? One, two, three. There.
Holy Moses. Look, Chief.
Is anything wrong in... Mr. Arnold!
Will you look at that? A bullet hole right through his head.
And the window's broken. The murderer must have been standing on the roof of that building across the alleyway and fired through this window.
I'm afraid you're wrong.
What do you mean?
I mean that I'm arresting you, Miss Cranston, for the murder of Peter Arnold.
How does the inspector know that Miss Cranston murdered Peter Arnold? We'll give you the solution in just a moment, but first...
Never borrow money needlessly, just when you must. Borrowed and where loans are a specialty from folks you trust. Borrow confidently from HFC.
Household Finance Corporation offices are listed in your telephone book.
And now, back to our story.
Mr. Arnold was shot from outside. The broken glass proves it.
Oh, that's what you've tried to make us believe. No, Miss Cranston. You shot Peter Arnold from this very room, broke the window to make it look like the shooting was done from outside, and then went out and locked the door. It would have been a perfect murder, except for one thing.
What was that?
The broken window. You see, we found the fragments of glass on the street.
Well?
If the bullet had been fired from the outside, the fragments of glass would have gone in the direction of fire. In other words, the glass would have landed inside the room, not on the street. No, Miss Cranston, you murdered Peter Arnold. I don't know why you did it, but we'll soon get the story out of you at headquarters.
The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Oka pudding's just the real.
Another 5-minute mystery.
Inspector Craig, I just decided that working for the police department is very gratifying. Especially even more so when it gets us free passes to the circus.
The word is gratifying, nimble brain. To ratify means to put your stamp of approval on something.
So that's what I said. With me, it's very much okay. When I was a kid, I was always crazy to join a circus.
You know, Pepper, sometimes I wonder...
Yeah?
Oh, never mind.
Inspector Craig, I've been looking everywhere for you.
Oh, hello, Denny. Pepper and I want to thank you for the passes. I think the big show is better than ever this year.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be much of a host, Inspector. It seems the snake charmer's been found dead and...
Murder?
It looks like suicide. I'd like you to run over with me and give it a routine check. Sorry to bust in on your fun this way.
Looks like suicide to me, all right, Inspector.
An open and shut case, as far as I'm concerned.
It's so hard to believe. Dorothy...
You own part interest in the circus, don't you, Brian?
That's right, Inspector. Nat Bryan and I are partners. Nat, I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Thanks.
How long were you and Mrs. Bryan married?
Not long. I can't believe she'd do a thing like this.
She was the snake charmer, right?
Yes.
Suppose you tell us how it happened, Brian, so we can get the facts straight.
Well, lately, Dorothy and I... Well, that is, there have been disagreements, quarrels.
There was some talk about a trapeze artist, is that it?
Yes. Dorothy was insanely jealous and thought I was interested in a little tightrope walker.
Were you?
No. There never was anyone else for me but Dorothy. And now...
All right, go on.
I came here late this afternoon to get her to listen to reason. She refused to be reasonable. It was quite a scene, and finally she got up and ran into the dressing room.
Yes, yes, I see. These tents are divided into little rooms. It's very clever. You were out here, is that it?
Yes.
And she went into what could be called the other room. All right, go on.
I had no idea what she intended to do, otherwise I just can't seem to realize.
We understand.
Of course we do, Nat. Go on.
Well, that's all there is. She shot herself. And I was sitting here all the time. After a while, I got up and left. I was seen coming from this direction by several people. That's why I came and told you this. I didn't want the police to think I was hiding anything.
You did the right thing, of course. This tent is set apart some distance from the others, isn't it?
Yes. No one wanted to be near the snake charmer's tent. In case any of them got loose.
That accounts for no one hearing the shot. There's one thing I don't get. How is it you didn't hear the sound of a gun going off?
I told you it was late afternoon, feeding time for the animals. Dorothy's tent is next to the giraffes. They were making such a racket hollering for their food, I couldn't hear.
Inspector, if I may make so bold as to make a remark here, this guy is, to put it bluntly, an awful liar.
Why, how do you...
Are you sure?
Plain as the nose on my face.
Well, that's plain enough for me. Hold still, Brian. Don't make a move.
In a moment, Pepper will reveal the clue that led him to believe it was murder, not suicide. But first...
This program is brought to you by the makers of Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. Those delicious frozen confections on a stick. Now I have a swell surprise for you. The famous winner of the typical American boy contest has now become Popsicle Pete. And here's a message from him.
Hello, everybody. I sure am glad to meet you. And boy, am I glad I was picked to be the typical American boy. Because now I'm Popsicle Pete. I always wanted to be on the radio, and now I have a chance to tell you about some wonderful presents you can get free. See, you ought to see them. Hundreds of them. You get them just for saving bags from Nifty Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. Some gifts, even better than Christmas. You can get a wristwatch, a movie camera, table tennis, a wallet, a doll. Gee, lots of gifts. Just save the bags from Popsicle, Creamsicle, and Fudgicle on a handy stick. Boy, do they taste good.
Wholesome, too, and nourishing. Made fresh every day of the finest ingredients. The biggest 5 cents worth anywhere.
And say, kids, get the free illustrated Popsicle gift list at your ice cream store. A free coupon comes with it, worth 10 bags.
Now, back to our story.
You better explain, Pepper. How do you know he's lying?
Because giraffes is like turtles. They don't make noises. Brother, is he dumb?
Good work, Pepper. Okay, Brian, you're under arrest.
Well, there you go, another two great mysteries. I'm not totally sure I understood the last one at all, but it may just be my upbringing. Oh, well, whatever. We're going to be resting the five-minute mysteries for a little while, but we hope to have them back in the program at some point next year. You're listening to Beagle at Night with me, RB. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have a little bit of posh, and it is a little bit of posh, but it's actually rather a nice little bit of posh from Carl Orff. He wrote it. He's not playing it, although he probably could have done. But before all of that... Wasn't she? That was Jane Powell, of course, and that was from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and that was a wonderful, wonderful day. Used to live not too far from where I am right now in Wilton, Connecticut. Died a couple of years ago. It was about 2 years ago, I think, if memory serves me correctly. Oh, no. Yeah. No, I stick with my original 2 years ago. Going backwards and forwards, trying to do too many things at once. I think I'll stop trying to do that immediately, and I'll just play this.
you're deep just like a chasm. You've no enthusiasm. You're tired and uninspired. You're blasé. Your day is one of leisure, in which you search for pleasure. You're bored when you're adored. You're blasé. While reaching for the moon and the stars up in the sky, the simple things of normal life are slowly passing by. You sleep, the sun is shining. You wake, it's time for dining. There's nothing new for you to do. You're blasé.
Gus Arnhem and his orchestra with Mary Bell supplying the vocals there from 1932, no less, and that was Your Blasé. Yeah, could almost be me, right? And before that, the Eric's Coats and his orchestra, his concert orchestra to be precise, and the ATV March. Hope you enjoyed that. You're listening to Angel Radio here on FM in Havant and Portsmouth and Gosport and the immediate environs, and also on various DAB options, and of course on the internet. And for DAB options and internet listening, go to the website angelradio.co.uk, and that's also where you can get the latest program schedule as well. And if you want to join us on Facebook, then you can. I'm just pulling up the page in front of me, because even though I administer it, for want of a word, I can never remember the exact name of it. Friends Who Like Angel Radio. Yeah, actually it's a lot easier, isn't it? Yeah, Friends Who Like Angel Radio. And you just start away and join us, and we have a merry old time there as well. Now, time for a little bit of posh now, and this is a little bit, it's not very long, and it's one of those things that's just very sweet and nice, and starts off pretty quiet, gets a little bit louder, there's a few drums in towards the end, but it's by Carl Orff, probably not the one that you're thinking of that everybody else plays by Carl Orff, but enjoy this, I think you're going to like it. Thank you. very short and very sweet, but it's rather fun, isn't it? That was Cord Gassenhauer. It was written by Carl Orff, and it was played there, but rather nice, I thought, by the Carl Pinkoffer Percussion Ensemble. I hope you enjoyed that. This week's Little Bit of Posh.
It seems to me I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream. A dream that brought you so close to me. I know each word because I've heard that song before. The lyrics said forevermore. Forevermore's a memory.
For some bizarre reason, I don't quite know why that reminds me of Sail Along, Silvery Moon. That was Gary Miller, and I've heard that song before. No, I'm not going to start singing. We had quite enough of that the last time I did it on the daytime show. We're still trying to get the listeners back. What am I going to do now? Doris Day. I'm going to break my own rule, which, of course, I'm allowed to do, although I'm not really breaking it, but I sort of am breaking it. If you want to hold me up against a fire and roast me Tom Brown School Days style, then, yeah, I'm breaking it. It's not really a Christmas song as such, but it is certainly a song for the Christmas time of year from Doris Day. It's called Snowfall, but it's only sort of around about this time of year that we can really play it, because it's sort of like nice and snowy and Christmassy and stuff. So just one song, all right, if that's okay with you. And then we'll have a couple that are not sort of like connected with Christmas. Time for Day at Night.
Again, this couldn't happen again. This is that once in a lifetime. This is the thrill divine. What's more, this never happened before. Though I have prayed for a lifetime,
much as you would suddenly be mine, mine to hold as I'm holding you now, and yet never so near, mine to have. When the now and the here disappear, what matters, dear, for when this doesn't happen again? We'll have this but never, never again.
Never, never.
We'll have this moment forever. But never, never again.
Thank you. time to say good night. Time to say farewell till we meet again. Good night.
Say Snowball should have been first, or Snowfall rather should have been first, but I got my records on the wrong deck, so they came out wrong, but it all ended up correctly, right? Doris Day with Again, and then we had Snowfall, and then Time to Say Goodnight. Well, it isn't time to say goodnight yet, we've got about another 41 and a half minutes, but I hope you enjoyed this week's Day at Night sequence, which I think we've been doing now for well over a year, possibly even coming up to about 15 or 16 months, certainly a long time. And I'd like to thank Brad in Chicago for suggesting it. And I'd also like to thank Brad for his offer of helping in collecting our top 500 Angel Radio listeners of all time songs. Very much appreciated, Brad. And if I do need help, and there's a very good chance that I will absolutely get in touch with you. All right, let's see. About 10, 15 minutes time, we're going to have some comedy. Before that, how about this?
Are while the shadows fall and the lights begin to glow, I'm on my way. When it's evening and the town sets me free, I'll be waiting by the old willow tree. Though the daytime is not the gay time, there's no need to be blue. For when it's evening, I'll be waiting for you. When it's evening, I'll be waiting for you.
Well, that's called When It's Evening, which it still here is in Danbury, Connecticut, of course, well into morning over in the UK and all the other parts of Europe. That was Joe Lawson's orchestra with Howard Jones singing When It's Evening. This is Andy Williams.
Uh-oh, I'm falling in love again. Uh-oh, uh-oh. I thought I'd never get caught again. Never in 100, never in 1,000, never in 1,000,000 years. Many's the time I've been two times. Many's the time I've been stung. Many a honey would kiss me and run, but then that was when I was much younger. Made up my mind to be careful. Made up my mind to be sly. I was alright until Saturday night. I met a guy with a twinkling eye. Uh-oh, I'm falling in love again. Uh-oh, uh-oh.
Well, I sort of figured out what's happened because that wasn't Andy Williams, was it? That was Peggy March. I've got Peggy March lined up on the next turntable, and I bet you any money you like, it's Andy Williams.
Remember the night you said I love you. Remember, remember, you vowed by all the stars above. You'd forget me not,
But you forgot to remember.
Okay, well, it wasn't me that was causing the problem. Well, it was, but I'd got my decks. I'd got the record deck number one plugged into socket number two, and record deck number two plugged into socket number one. So it meant that when I thought I was going to play one thing, I played the other. It's very easy to do that, folks. That's what I can say. It all goes into, all of these things go into what is called a mixer board, and what that does is by a manipulation avec mon digits, things flow into each other seamlessly, unless of course things are plugged into the wrong socket, in which case it all goes hellishly wrong. But whilst you're listening to this next song, I will swap my sockets over, well, at least the plugs, and all should then be okay. Sylvester and his ballroom orchestra and Hernando's Hideaway. So let's see if I have turned the plugs around correctly, then this should be Peggy March.
I love him, I love him,
dato putarina da. I must follow him. Shiawase o shinjite, tatoe doko made mo, ai no aru kagiri, atashi wa yuku. Follow him. Inochi no aru kagiri, yorokobi o wakachi, kurushii koto ni mo nakazu ni ikite yuku. I love it, I love it, I love it. Doko made mo follow, I follow, I follow. Follow him.
Follow him.
Inochi no aru kagiri, yorokobi o wakachi, kurushii koto ni mo nakazu ni ikite yuku. And when he comes, I'll follow, I'll follow, I'll follow. I know I'll always love it, I love it, I love it.
I'm so pleased I did get my plug sorted out. Plug number one is now in socket number one, and it works so much better when it does it that way. Peggy March there, and I Will Follow Him, sung in both English and Japanese, just because you can. I cannot speak Japanese. If I could, I would tell you it's now time for a little bit of comedy in Japanese, but I can't, so you'll just have to suffice in English.
After the fall of France, Britain stood alone. The only thing between us and Germany was an old coward on the bridge of a destroyer at Elstree. While plucky John Mills stuck it out bravely on a raft in the studio tank. But then, in December 1941, came an event that horrified the entire civilized world. They revived Chuchin Chow in Ipswich. But at home, we were beginning to feel the pinch.
Charles.
Yes. Here I am.
I came as soon as I got your note.
Come sit here beside me. How lovely Hyde Park is in summer.
It's as if the war was a million miles away.
And yet somehow terribly close.
And yet a million miles away.
And yet very close.
And yet a million miles away.
Yeah. We don't let's bicker. There's so little time.
So little time, Charles.
And yet so much to say in so little time. And yet an eternity because there's nothing to say.
Nothing. Nothing, Charles.
Nothing. And yet there's so much.
I wish you'd make up your mind.
Do you like it? My uniform, that is.
You know I like it. Your uniform, that is. But Charles, you've got a stick.
Yes, sure. I'd hoped you wouldn't notice it. I shall always have to use a stick now.
Oh, why will you have to use a stick?
Well, can't you see by my uniform?
Charles, you're...
Say it.
A park keeper.
Yeah. Still, it keeps me out of the forces.
Hello, Mother, darling. Oh, Mommy Julia, look worried. What's the matter?
Worried. I'm distracted, so I am.
Yes, but you're like this every Monday morning.
If I was a Member of Parliament, I'd make a law to abolish Mondays, and I'd start the week on a Saturday.
Why, are you short again?
Short! Short! Look at this. I owe 3 weeks' rent. 17 shillings to the tallyman, 14 bob to the greengrocer, and if I don't pay me arrears that I owe for years, my polish will lapse and I'll collapse. Then there's the butcher. Oh, I wish they'd make money out of elastic.
Why, Mother?
So that it would stretch and then I could make both ends meet.
Now, don't get excited. Just tell me, how much money have you got?
30 shillings, all but.
All but what?
29 and 11 pence. And daughter, 29 and 11 pence from 30 shillings leaves me getting scraps from the butcher, a sour look from the milkman, and raspberries from the greengrocer. Oh, what a headache.
Take it easy, Mummy. I'll put the kettle on and I'll make you a nice, strong cup of tea.
There's no gas.
But why isn't there any gas?
Because I haven't got a shilling to put in the meter.
Don't tell me that tale. Surely you've got a bob for the gas.
I haven't. And the inspector said that if he found any more tiddlywinks in the gas meter, he'd tiddlywink me. Oh, daughter, I wonder what it feels like to be tiddlywinked. I've been hoodwinked by the coal man. I've been winked at by the tallyman. But I've never been tiddlywinked by a gas man.
Oh, look, there's a letter here from the landlord. It's not so good. He said he's going to turn you out if you don't pay your rent.
Turn me out? Turn me out? He can't turn me out. I've got a rent book, I have. I've had this rent book 25 years and there isn't a mark in it.
How do you get yourself into this pickle, Mother? What do you do with all your money?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. You must know. You've got to check up. How much do I allow you?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, because you make me an allowance on Friday. But on Saturday, you borrow it back and spend it before I've time to count it.
But we can't live like this, Mother. Something will have to be done.
How much have you got in the post office?
Now, wait a minute. How did you know I'd anything in the post office?
I found your book. I wasn't nosy parkering. I wasn't looking for it. But as you know, daughter, every August I make your bed. And as I turned over your palliass, I found a mattress. And under the mattress, I found a post office saving book. Well, I didn't know whose it was because I didn't have my glasses on, so I put them on and I found it was yours.
And did you open it?
Yes, but I shut it again. But I saw that you had a few pounds saved up. And I was thinking, like, as we owe the rent, you see, and my policy, that you might, if you could, Jackie, do you know?
Yes, I know. You were thinking, like, well, I'm not going to lend it to you, and I'll tell you why. I've been saving up that money to buy myself a new coat.
A new coat?
A new coat.
And what do you want with a new coat?
I want a new hat, a pair of shoes, and an umbrella.
Because my daughter wants a new hat, a pair of shoes, and an umbrella, I can be turned out of my house and home. I can go out in the cold, cold street without a shelter for my head. Without a shelter for my head. And it might be snowing.
Well, don't worry, Mother. If it's snowing, sure, you can shelter under me umbrella.
Another crack like that out of you and you'll be sheltering under a tombstone. You don't care what becomes of your mother. You don't care if she gets turned out of her house.
Oh, Mother, don't
say that. As long as you can get enough of her expenses.
Now, please, you know that that's wrong. I'm going out. I'm going to the post office, Mother.
Yes, to get the money out to buy yourself a coat.
No, darling, I don't want the coat. I'll make me old one, too. I'm going to get the money out to give it to you to buy yourself some contentment of mine.
I always said, daughter, you were the nicest daughter a mother ever had. You're a blessing and nothing else but to me. I knew you were.
Have the kettle ready. Goodbye, Mother. I won't be long. Goodbye.
Hello, folks. This is Tommy Handley calling with great gusto and malice aforethought. Well, I beg to announce that owing to an outbreak of picking chops, whooping chicks, measles, rather, at Savoy Hill, the staff has been sadly depleted, and the corporation have asked me to kind of keep the ball rolling and carry on for the rest of the evening. So I will, with your kind permission and attention, start with the children's hour.
Hello, children.
Hello, children. Hello, children.
A little bedtime story by the Wicked Carbuncle. Twice upon a time, once upon a twice, a little while ago, there were two bears. There used to be three, but one heard me sing. And just at that moment, Little Blue Riding Red came out of the forest with their cat Whittington. And he said to her, let's sit down on this Humpty Dumpty. But she was afraid and said, well, I must be in before Aladdin's lamp goes out. And just at that moment, a fairy prince dressed in loose tights jumped off his rocking horse and said, go away, you wicked, wicked fella. You shall not harm my little Cinderella. So the man went away leaving Blue Riding Red all alone. And as she sat there, she heard Jack and the Beans talk, and this is what they said. Many happy returns to all children, especially to Old Moore, Rip Van Winkle, Tom, Dick, Harry, Joe, Mary Jane, Evelyn, and Polyanthesis. Hello, Octet. And now for the weather report, for the benefit of those who missed it on purpose. This morning, a deep depression settled over the south. This afternoon, my mother-in-law arrived from the north. Snow fell in Iceland on Wednesday. The income tax collector fell downstairs on Thursday, so there will be a Thanksgiving service on Friday. Sea in the Irish Channel is very wet, and in the English Channel, a trifle wetter. And here is an SPO. Will the parents of Johnny Jones of Clamperth, Plisklippington, of Wales, who was last seen in Oswaldwistle on his way to Chowbent, kindly write to him, care of Mrs. Slapcabbage of Chalton-cum-Hardy, who will send back the letter as his address is unknown. And now, folks, just a moment. If you'll peep over the wall, you'll find me on the other side.
You've heard of the Magna Charta, as we're signed at the Baron's command, on Runningmead Island in middle of Thames by King John, who were known as Lachlan. Some say it were wrong of the Barons, their will on the king's soul to thrust. But you'll see if you look at both sides of the case that they had to do something or bust. For John, from the moment they crowned him, started acting so cunning and sly. Being king, of course, he couldn't do any wrong, but by gum, he'd a proper good try. He squandered the ratepayers' money. All their cattle and corn did he take, till there wasn't a morsel of bread in the land, and folks had to manage on cake. It were all right in being a tyrant to vassals and folks of that class, but he tried on his tricks with the barons and all, and that's where he made a folks pass. He started bombarding their castles and burning them over their head, till there wasn't enough castles left to go round, and they had to sleep six in a bed. So they went to the king in a body, and their spokesman, Fitzwalter by name, he opened the hole in his helmet and said, conciliatory like, what's the game? The king starts to shilly and shally. He sits and he oars and he ums, till the barons in rage started gnashing their teeth, and them with no teeth gnashed their gums. Said Fitz, through the hole in his helmet, it were you as put us in this plight. And John, having nothing to say to this here, murmured, leave your address and I'll write. This angered the gallant Fitzwalter. He stamped on the floor with his foot, and was starting to give John a rare ticking off, when the hole in his helmet fell shut. We'll get him a Magna Charta, he said, when his face he had freed. Said the barons, that's right, and if one's not enough, get a couple and happen they'll breed. They set about making a charter. When at finish they'd got it drawn up, it looked like a paper on cattle disease, or the entries for Waterloo Cup. Next day, King John, all unsuspecting, and having the afternoon free, to Runningmead Island had taken a boat, and were having some shrimps for his tea. He had just pulled the head off a big un, and were pinching its tail with his thumb, when up came a barge load of barons, who said, we thought you'd be here, so we've come. When they told him they'd brought Magna Charta, The king seemed to go kind of limp. But minding his manners, he took off his hat and said, "Thanks very much, have a shrimp." "You'd best sign at once," said Fitzwalter. "If you don't, I'll tell thee for a start. The next coronation will happen quite soon, and you won't be there to take part." They spread Charter out on tea table, and John signed his name like a lamb. His writing in places was sticky and thick through dipping his pen in the jam. And it's through that there Magna Charta, as were made by the barons of old, that in England today we can do what we like, so long as we do what we're told.
One day at a food demonstration, to which I shall later allude, Mrs. Clutterbuck, to her amazement, found out there were three kinds of food. The first you must eat to keep healthy, in mind or in body or both. The second gives energy value, and the third is conducive to growth. When she mentioned the matter at supper, Mr. Clutterbuck gave her a snub. He said, "Just you stick to plain cooking and don't muck about with the grub." "But what about food demonstration?" "I know nought about it," said he. "And if you must trifle with stomachs, try it out on young Basil, not me. He don't need no food to keep healthy, and he's quite energetic enough. He's just broke another 5 windows. If you feed him on that, he'd get rough." "Nay, I don't agree with those first two. You'd better try missing out both. Just feed little Basil on third one, the food that's conducive to growth. From henceforward, into young Basil, this specialized nutriment went, and the Clutterbucks got quite excited at their wonderful experiment. As they gazed at him half fascinated, it seemed that his progress was slow, like he might be tomato in greenhouse that's gawked at but don't seem to grow. When all of a sudden, one evening, when his parents were quite in despair, they pretty well died of amazement when he suddenly crashed through his chair. They found, on attempting to lift him, that he'd put on 5 stone, not much less. 'By gum,' Mrs. Clutterbuck shouted, 'the experiment's met with success.' Next day, he'd grown out of his trousers, and his shirt wouldn't meet round his neck. His jacket had split down both armholes. In a fortnight, the house was a wreck. He broke every chair that he sat on. He bust every lamp with his head, and his feet stuck out 39 inches at night when tucked up in his bed. His parents were filled with emotion. The neighbors were loud in their praise. They'd made little Basil a giant in just 1 month and 17 days. And as he was unfit to live with, on account that the house was too small, he was hired for £3 to a circus, to the great satisfaction of all. When peace was restored to the household, Mr. Clutterbuck grimly observed, 'Well, we've come out of that very lightly, perhaps lighter than what we deserved. When we're told to eat 3 sorts of foodstuffs in future, I'll give you my oath, we won't muck about and eat only the food that's conducive to growth. What they told you at food demonstration were proved to be true as can be. And if anyone says the contrary, let him go to circus and see.'"
Well, you may have guessed that was a leftover from Pete's offerings of, what, about an hour and 20 minutes ago, because he really wanted 4, and we couldn't really fit 4 in because it's 3 of the best, so, but we thought we'd throw it in there as well. So that was Stanley Holloway and the food demonstration. We started off our little comedy sequence with Charles and Fiona in Hyde Park, and then we had Old Mother Riley's Budget with Arthur Lucan and Kitty McShane, Tommy Handley with Tommy Handley Calling, and then the Magna Charta from Marriott Edgar. Comedy for this week here on Angel Radio and Beagley at Night. We have about 9 minutes left. Time for this, I think.
Ring
Remembering the other girls I knew before, the many times I thought I was in love before, until yesterday when we met. Never will I forget the tender look of loving in those eyes of yours, a whisper in my ear that I alone am yours. These are the signs of love. These are the signs of love. Not before. Ups and downs and growing up, thinking back to broken hearts and blowing up, times when my world fell apart. Younger than love was my heart. Remembering the wakeful nights and loneliness, the many times that I was fooled by tenderness. Memories of others I knew mean nothing now, there is you. Remembering the past without including you, in future that is something I need never do. Now that you're holding my hand, true love I understand. Not before. The day we met, these are the signs of love. These are the signs of love. Do 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 do.
Nice and soft and gentle signs of love there from Engelbert Humperdinck, and I played that for Sally, who is listening up there in Cleethorpes. So Sally, hope you enjoyed that. Let's see, time for two more if I'm quick.
Church affair, I saw you smile at me so sweetly. At a little church affair, you said good evening so discreetly. Through the night I learned to care, until I lost my heart completely. Soon the bells began to chime, I was yours and you were mine. Thank the stars we both were there, at a little church affair. ¶¶
Dorsey and his orchestra at a little church affair. And that's just about it for this edition of Piggly at Night. Thank you so much for joining me for the last couple of hours. And if you're one of those people that listen and then fall asleep and wake up and listen a bit more and fall asleep and wake up and listen, perfectly fine by me. Very happy to have your company. We'll get to do it all again around about the same time next week, all being well. So until we meet again, may I be the first to wish you a very good morning.
I guess I'll have to dream the rest. These words in harmony by the three cadets.
I guess I'll have to dream the rest. If you can't remember the things that we said, those nights that my shoulder held your sleepy head, if you believe that parting's best, I guess I'll have to dream the rest. I guess I'll have to dream alone of honeymoon cruises so dear to my heart, of one-room apartments where we said we'd start, of foolish things we planned to own. I guess I'll have to dream alone. I can see that your heart has gone astray. As for me, I love you the same old way. I guess I'll have to dream the rest. There'll be no friends waiting to throw shoes and rice. Those heavenly moments will never come twice. I'm thankful for the hours you've blessed. I guess I'll have to dream the rest.